Let's turn our Bible to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 24, verses 15 to 27. God answers prayer, okay, which is the title of the passage. Genesis 24, 15 to 27. Verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, Uel, son of Milcah, with a pitcher upon her shoulder. But the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted, and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. May God bless us in the reading of his holy and precious word. God answers prayer. Well, the popular belief is that God answer to our prayer in three possibilities. Yes, no, or wait. And we seem to accept this belief, seeing it is quite reasonable, quite logical that God's answer would either be a yes, or no, or wait. But clearly in many instances, especially the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, emphasize that God will surely give a yes answer to all his children. And so therefore, based on this, it is no longer a possibility of expecting an answer, whether it be a yes, no, or wait. Based upon God's word, based upon the promise which the Lord himself has given us, the promise to all of God's people, how God would answer their prayer would always be a yes. And so based on this, we have the confidence that each time we pray, of course, we must know that we must not regard iniquity in our hearts, that God will not hear us if we have sinned in our life. And then it must also be a prayer of a believer. Because how can we pray to God whom we do not know? And so therefore, it must be a prayer of a believer. And so when we are able to meet all these so-called criteria, you must be a believer, and then you must pray with all your sins confessed, and then you must be according to his will. Then our confidence in God hearing our prayer and answering our prayer will be an absolute one, a yes. So God will always answer the prayer of his children in the affirmative. As the Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Not my will, but thine be done. Did God answer his prayer? How the Lord had prayed that the cup of suffering, the cup of death, to be removed from him, like in the garden. So did God answer his prayer? Well, the answer is yes. How the Lord wanted very much to save us from our sin by going to the cross. So he died in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cannot be our Savior. And so therefore, he uttered the prayer. His human will as well as his divine will all wanted the redemption of God's people. And so God answered his prayer because his prayer was made rightly before him. And so these powerful words of our Savior continue to stand true today. Not my will, but thine be done. God will surely answer our prayer. And so in our text in Genesis chapter 24, we're going to see how God answers the prayer of Abraham's servant. Now in verse 15, we see that when God answers prayer, the time of his answering is the right timing. That's what we see in verse 15. Never too early, never too late, just right. Now how right? Look at verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking, before he even finished his prayer, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with a pitcher upon her shoulder. So even before his prayer ends, the prayer was answered. Was it too early? He hasn't even finished his prayer. Now from man's perspective, well, not the time yet. Or at least, let me finish my prayer. Well, sometimes this is our problem. We seem to want God to answer our prayers according to the time of our thinking, according to the time of our desire. We think our time is the right time, instead of believing that God's timing is the right time. And so like this case, how many of us think that it is too early? Haven't even finished prayer. Not the right girl, Rebecca, came on sight. Maybe to our mind, to our carnality, to our, in a way, most logical human reasoning. We may try to say, well, at least give the servant a few choices before the right one comes. Well, are you thinking this? Well, that was what I was thinking. But the mind of God is clearly not the mind of man. He works in ways that is out of this world, and not what we think is best, but according to his perfect will, according to his pleasure, according to his right timing. Never too early, never too late. Just on time, which is the right time. Well, there was this account in the Gospel of John, if you remember, how Lazarus was very sick. And news came to be told to the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lazarus was very sick. He's about to die. But the Lord did not immediately leave Jerusalem, where he was. Because if he were to travel to Bethany, it may take at least a few days. And so when he heard upon this sad news that Lazarus was sick, he did not set off immediately, which he could, which he should, in our opinion. Because many a time in my pastoral ministry, you know, the moment I receive a phone call, so and so is in the hospital, well, I drop everything. Okay, because the condition is serious. I must go. So I must go and to minister. You know, because if I were to procrastinate, if I were to say and justify that, oh, this thing I must finish first, well, I might miss the opportunity. But what about the Lord? What the Lord knew what he was doing. His timing will always be the right timing. And so by the time he reached Bethany, Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. Well, was that the right timing? Well, if the Lord were to arrive earlier, than 4 days. Maybe 3 days after Lazarus passed away. Now the Lord was going to perform a great miracle. A miracle of raising one from the dead. Now in those days, as long as a person who died within 3 days, there is still a slight possibility that this person may come to life again. A person will not be considered dead until the fourth day. And so that was why the fourth day, you know, how Lazarus was laid dead for 4 days, was an important information to tell us that truly the raising up of Lazarus from the dead is a miracle. Nothing can rob God of His glory. And so that was the whole purpose why the Lord went there when Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And so was the Lord early? Nobody would think that He is too early. In fact, many would complain, why didn't you come earlier? Why didn't you come when Lazarus was still alive? But was Jesus late? No. Jesus came at the right time, so that He could perform this amazing miracle of causing Lazarus to rise from the dead, so that He will manifest the power of God. And all glory to be given to God. And so all who were present were in awe. Oh, truly, this is the Son of God. This is the man whom God has sent in our midst, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so what more could we have asked in every of our prayers? Should it not be answered according to God's right timing? Now for the servant, as his prayer is that the will of God be done. You know, for God's choice of a godly wife for Isaac. And therefore, God provided the right one immediately, so that the servant will know for sure that this is the one. And so not only God's timing is right, God's choice is also the best. You know, for the servant, even though the option is only one, seeing the first one is the one. He don't have to look at the first, second one, or third one, or fourth one, because there are no second, third, or fourth. Only one. But what do we think of this only one? Well, this only one whom God has provided is the best choice. And that's what we see from verses 16 to 21. And so not only God's timing is the right timing, God's choice is also the best choice. So from verses 16 to 21, we see how God has provided the right woman for Isaac. Now, what kind of a woman did God provide for Isaac? Now, over here, at least I see at least four good qualities. There may be more, but at least four that we can see in this woman whom God had chosen for Isaac. Now, first, we read in verse 16 that the damsel was very fair to look upon. So, in other words, it is beautiful. Now, no doubt, beauty can be subjective. Okay, a woman may be beautiful to one, but to another, it may not be beautiful. That's why it is often said, no, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But what is the point of mentioning beauty over here? Well, I believe this is to attract the servant at the very first sight. Now, this is not for carnal or sexual purpose. Okay, but that his eyes, you know, the eyes of the servant may be attracted to her beauty at the very first sight. That Rebecca is very beautiful to look upon. The external appearance that first attracts the servant to her. Now that's the first quality. But how do we look for physical attraction? It may not be all the criteria that we're looking for life. Life partner. But certainly it is one of the criteria that we are seeking. Because you may ask, why do you choose your wife? She She may not be the most beautiful in the whole world, but is she not the most beautiful in your sight? Well, you must tell that to your wife, that you are the most beautiful. The world may not look in the same way as you look, but in your eyes, she must only be the most beautiful woman in your entire life. Not to say to please her, but that must be your conviction. Otherwise, how are you going to stay true to her? You must be attracted to her. That is what we must always see in our spouse, you know, especially when we are aging. With all the wrinkles, the white hairs, the sagging skin, our own wife will always be beautiful in our eyes. I hope that will be our conviction for all husbands, for otherwise your eyes will wander, your heart will have second thoughts, will look at other women who may be more beautiful than your wife. And so it's a conviction and a quality, you know, that we must see, and that we saw in Rebecca. The beauty that God has blessed her for a good purpose. So that this servant, when she looked at Rebecca, how she had been chosen, the right one for Isaac. Now that's only the first quality. Now let's look at the second quality. Now the second quality is even more important. The second quality we see in Rebecca is that she is a virgin. Neither had any man known her. So in other words, she does not have any sexual relationship with any man. Now, is this an important quality? Absolutely. The Bible says, marriage is honorable unto all, and the bed undefiled. But today, from man's perspective, you know, to maintain one's virginity is no longer the thing. In fact, you become a norm if you are not a virgin. You may ask, or you may try to ask every secondary school student today in our Singapore context, how many of them do not have any sexual encounters or relationship? We know that some of them have been caught. At their age, not only they are forbidden to marry, they are forbidden to have any sexual activity. It's against the law. It is illegal. But some have been caught, but many were not caught. But that's the world that we're living today. How they have looked upon such virginity of a person so lightly. But Rebecca has kept herself pure, clean for her future husband. So in other words, she's not a loose woman who sleeps around. She respects herself. She respects her family. She respects her own people. And I believe most of, and foremost, she fear God. That is important in those days as well as today. The world may not hold that in high regard anymore. But that's the world. But that should not be our attitude as God's people. No matter what happens, we must keep our body holy and pure for God's sake. And so to all singles, we must keep ourselves, not only our body, but also our mind, not to be contaminated with all these sexual lusts and sin. And so to all young men, young ladies, do not allow anyone to pressurize you to have any sexual relationship before marriage. For God's sake, for your sake, protect yourself. Now, there is also spiritual implication if Rebecca is not a virgin. Because if she were to live her life, you know, in a very loose lifestyle, and then she ends up marrying Isaac, the messianic line will be affected. And there will be question mark whether the line is pure or not. And therefore, it is a very serious implication if Rebecca is not a virgin. And so this point that Rebecca is a virgin is a very important point, not to be missed. Okay, so this is a second quality that we see in Rebecca. And then the third quality we see in Rebecca is a readiness, the promptness to follow instruction. Now, at least two times, the word hasted was used. One in verse 18, and the other in verse 20. Now, the meaning of hasted means straight away, immediately. And all her actions were immediate, deliberate, and prompt. There was no procrastination, no delay, no push off to a later time. And so right on the spot, she did it, one after another. Not only she gave drink to the servant, to give drink to the servant is already something out of a heart of hospitality, kindness. But then she offered to let the camel drink. And how many camels? 10 of them. 10 camels repeatedly doing the same thing over 10 times. How long it take, we do not know. But there was no complaint, no murmuring. Rebecca was all ready to follow and obey instruction promptly, immediately, and straight away. Well, is that not a quality? Very hard to find nowadays. Well, when mom shouts, dinner is ready, and nobody can say they didn't hear. But 5 minutes pass, still no one at the table. Until mom has to go and send a special invitation. Of course, special means special. Will not be kind anymore. With all the screaming and shouting. But why? Why must it be like this? What is our problem? Have we not heard the instruction? Why do we want to sit on things? Well, maybe we need to learn and relearn the Dean principle. The Dean principle is do it now. Or delay it not. We have been procrastinating for a long time. Procrastination has been our unwanted friend for so long. It's time to forsake this friend. Let us be like Rebecca, hasted, promptly, immediately, straight away, follow the instruction. Now, she not only act on what she was instructed, she initiated and did many, many more, going beyond what was expected of her. Because on hindsight, we know that, this is to fulfill the oath, the prayer of the servant that was made. But then we look at Rebecca herself. She has such initiative, going beyond what would be expected of her. Isn't that a great quality? Many a time we just want to do the minimal. To do more than the minimal, we're not so willing. Maybe once in a while we want to do it. But for Rebecca, out of her own initiative, she did much more beyond what we can imagine. Minimal is good enough for many of us. My job done, you cannot find fault with me. That's agreed upon. But can we not do a little bit more? Is it too much of us to want to do more? Well, if I promise I will cook 10 drumsticks for the refreshment, can I provide another 2 more? Well, of course, welcome. If I have been giving to Cambodian Mission $100 per month, this month I got extra. Can I give $20 more? Welcome. Why not? But the problem is, are we prepared to give? Are we ready to give? Going beyond what is expected and required of us. Now that is a quality we find in Rebecca. And it is as if it is not enough to do what the stranger had requested. She wanted to do more for him. Now there are many more qualities that we can really find in Rebecca if we really want to examine in great detail what she has done for this total stranger. You can think of humility, hospitality, kindness, patience, gentleness, joyfulness, and so on. And so truly, Rebecca is not only God's choice, but also the best choice for Isaac. Well, God give us the best. Do we believe? We are born into our parents. No, the family of whom we have no choice. But sometimes we complain. Oh, how we wish we have so and so as my parent. Did God make a mistake by allowing us to be born into this family? Oh, God gave us the best. Do we believe in Him? And so, Rebecca is the best choice for Isaac. We need to believe and trust in God giving us the best. And so God's timing is right. That's the first point. Second, God's choice is the best. And then thirdly, we see that God's name is praised. You know, when the prayer has been answered, how can we not praise God? Verses 22 to 27, we see how the name of God is praised. Now, how did the servant know that God has answered his prayer? No doubt God's timing is right. God's choice is the best. But when is really the right time? And which is really the best choice for him? And so even after all this, verse 21 tells us that the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And so the servant was still not 100% sure whether Rebecca is the one whom God had provided for him, okay, to bring home, okay, for his master's son, Isaac. Now, although Rebecca appeared at a time that he did not expect, because he was still praying, he didn't even expect that the woman would come so fast, the prayer would be answered so fast. And although the quality that Rebecca possessed, so truly impress him. But they are still not enough for him to know for sure if this is really God's choice. Until we see the following. Okay, from verses 22 to 25. Until he found out where she came from. Then she realized that this is truly God's answered prayer. And so it came to pass in verse 22, as the camel had done drinking, that a man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hand of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." And she said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. God answered his prayer because he knew now that where this young lady, Rebecca, came from. This was what the servant vowed in his oath according to Abraham's instruction. He must go back to where he came from, and from his own family, to find a godly woman, a godly wife for Isaac. And so the godly wife must come from his own family. Milcah was the daughter of Haran, and Haran was Abraham's elder brother. Now some may say, "Oh, what a small world. What a coincidence. Wow, so lucky for this servant to be able to find such a woman with no effort done. Well, remember when God blesses us with a daughter finally, after 9 years. Many of our neighbors came and tell us, "Wow, no, you have two sons. Now you got a third child and it's a girl. Wow, very lucky." But we have to tell them, no, there's no such thing as lucky. God is the one. God is the one who blesses us. God is the one who answers our prayer. God, we have been praying for God's will to be done. And He has answered. And when God answers prayer, what is the right response from us? Well, we see what the servant did. Verse 27. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham." Full of thanksgiving as he worshipped the God who answered his prayer. "Who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So when we realize that God has answered our prayers each time, we must bow our knees and praise the Lord in worship. Because God deserves our praise. His timing will always be right. Never too late, never too early. Always on time, and always the right time. And His choice is the best choice. So how can we not praise Him and give thanks? When we realize the power of prayer, and especially when God answers prayer according to His will, and then we have prayed according to His will, we know that we are just being in the way. It is not because of us. We are just His instrument. We are just being made available for Him to use. It doesn't mean that God has to use us. If He pleases Him to use us, we can only thank God. God will answer our prayers. And we just have to believe Him. And God is the one who made our pathway prosperous. Not us. Not because of us. We are just His instrument. He is the one who controls. Not us. And so this account of finding a godly wife for Isaac may seem a simple case of how God answers our prayer. It seems so smooth for this servant. But I believe the point is not whether we expect our prayers to be answered smoothly or not. What do we expect the answered prayer of God to be like? Do we really believe that God's timing is always the right timing? Do we believe that whatever God has blessed us will always be the best? Now, if we can trust God for His right timing, for the best choice that He is giving to us, then we are able to respond with praise and thanksgiving whenever He answers our prayer. We will not have second thought. We will not think that what I think is better than what God has given. Do you know that we will not be able to give thanks in the right way when we murmur and complain? When we are not contented with what was given to us. Are you complaining about your job? Are you complaining about your family? Are you complaining about your situation that God has put you in? Did not God tell us, in everything, give thanks? But how to give thanks? Unless we realize that that is a situation in which our faith may grow. That is a situation in which we know that God wants the very best for us. Not only His timing is right, His choice is always the best. Do we have this faith to believe so that we may respond with praise and thanksgiving? Without God, we have nothing, and we are nothing. And so let us trust the Lord to answer our prayers at the right time, and to give us the best choice. And we must believe it. Only then we'll be able to praise Him from our heart and worship Him by our spirit. And so may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. How Thou hast been so merciful and gracious to us by giving us Thy precious word. So the Lord, we will not be kept in the dark, that we may know whom we are praying to, that we may know that we must pray according to Thy will, and that Thy will for us will always be the best. Not only the right timing, but all that Thou will answer our prayers will be for our spiritual good. And Lord, we pray that Thou will help us remember Thy precious word. May we be found faithful, always keeping ourselves in obedience to Thy will, to Thy word. When the world seeks to distract us from obeying Thee, and all the more, may Thy Holy Spirit keep us, that our heart may be convicted, to know that we are Thy children forevermore. Help us that we may be found faithful, even in our prayer life, for the many times, because of busyness, because of our laziness, that we fail to commit ourselves before Thee in prayer. O Lord, we pray that our prayer life will grow and not be laid stagnant. How about that we may continue to give ourselves the time to pray, not only to pray, but also that to give ourselves to Thy word, that we may know of Thy will, so that our prayers will be made according to Thy will. Help us, O God, and we commit all this unto Thy loving hand, to know that Thou will answer our prayers according to Thy will. All this we pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.